You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Amy Kalasa. Yes, we're both named Amy. It happens. It can be a little confusing. I know. We talk about how an unsuspecting event with carbon monoxide poisoning pushed her to rethink her priorities and life choices. And she shares how she recalibrated to build her life to be more aligned with her passion for creative pursuits and finding freedom and intention in her very own life. We do also talk about the very best place to sit on an airplane. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Amy Kalasa, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Amy.
I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I start every interview, which people probably know by now, by asking people where they are. So where are you calling in from today?
Yeah, I live in New York, Long Island, about smack dab in the middle.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah, so that's very, love it. Very good. I love to learn about people's background before we dive into the topic of the day. If you want to tell us as little or as much as you want about yourself outside of work, it doesn't have to be about your family. It could be why you named your pets or, you know, anything about you, just to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, love it. I always have a little bit of trouble with this question because I consider myself multi-passionate, but I've learned that it's kind of a way to shape it however you want. I'll start with, so I'm, like I said, a multi-passionate creative. I'm a web designer and developer. My background's working in agencies and marketing departments, and now I own my own freelance business. I live at home with my husband and my cat. Start with that.
Very good. What's the name of the cat?
Mocha.
Mocha. So she's yellow. Yeah. No, just kidding.
She's a tortie, so she has some sass.
Oh, very nice. On my walk this morning, I was joined for a brief period by a very old tortie. Like he was like walking, and I was like, oh, you are wise with age and joint pain, and my feline friend. Yeah, she was pretty, but I think she was, yeah. So, anyway, that's my cat exposure for the day. All right. The topic of the day that you proposed, and I don't have a ton of information. We're going to get to know this story together. Well, you know it. Me and the audience are going to get to know it together. A near-death experience and how that pushed you to rethink everything. Are you ready to tell that story today?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to walk you through it. All right. So before we get to the near-death experience, as exciting as that is, let's talk about life before this. You don't have to share your whole life story, of course. I'm certain it is fascinating, but there's a time limit with the interview. tell us a little bit about you as a kid. Where did you grow up and what did you want to do when you grew up?
Yeah. So I grew up also on Long Island. I've lived all over the island in different areas. I was always, you know, creative outside, making things, riding my bike, finding new places to go, making up games with my brother. Let's see. Yeah, I always knew that I wanted to do something creative, but I wasn't really sure. So I started to, you know, being a millennial, like playing on the internet. It was like the MySpace era. It was
okay.
It was what else? Like LiveJournal. Like got really into like blogging and self-expression. You know, I got really into like sewing and making clothes and thrifting. And so I was always like working on some kind of project, starting from like when I was little to when I was a teenager, which is kind of what I was just talking about.
Yeah. So when you were a teenager, a creative, expressing yourself through art, you grew up in an age when that included digital design.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of very like on the cusp. So that was kind of exciting.
Yeah. No, MySpace was a unique time. Little pages with words and music. And I wish that they would come up on the way back machine, because it would be hilarious.
Yes. I recently saw somebody linking to, you know, a MySpace page. I was like, oh, people are still doing that.
Really?
Yes. I'm like, okay.
Oh, the potential for embarrassment there is high. Oh my goodness. All right. That's going to require some digging. Okay. So, all right. So I don't have a ton of information about this story, but what you shared with me is that at some point, and why I asked where you grew up is at some point you moved to New York City. Now you grew up on Long Island. So this is not a giant geographic move, but you move into the city. What brought you into the city and how old were you when you did this?
So I was in my mid-20s. It was like fairly early in my career still. I always thought that, I wanted to move to the city. I always wanted to, I just had this drive to explore, and my dear family, I love them, but they're not as adventurous as I am. They kind of
Sure
want to,
enough.
keep things a little bit safe. So it was a little hard to, do something like that. So I ended up getting a job in the city. So I was like, okay, first step, I'm gonna get a new job. I found a new job, and it was a fun job. It was a lot of work. I was kind of doing too much. We'll get back into that. But I was like, okay, this is my chance. I said, oh, I always wanted to move to the city, and it kind of aligned. And then one of my friends was also looking for a place. So, it worked out. It happened very quickly. So I ended up moving there to Brooklyn. And yeah, it happened. I was doing a lot at the time. I was commuting. It was 2 hours each way. It
Yeah,
was a
because
lot. I'm nervous.
it's a lot. So you got the job, but you were still living at home. And so you were taking the train or driving into the city from Long Island. They're very different, right? They're very different. Like I grew up in New York City. People live on Long Island. They're very close geographically. At some points, they're actually kind of connected, but it is a completely different world. And so you were commuting in, and then you decided to move into the city, which actually you're saying is Brooklyn, which is, I'm a little older than you are.
Brooklyn.
Back in the old days, Brooklyn was not actually a part of the city. The
It's
city
actually
referred
part of
to,
Long Island.
oh yeah, right. And it was like when we said the city, we went Manhattan, and then the Manhattanites rejected all the other boroughs as being inferior, which is snobby and not correct. But all right, so you're living in Brooklyn, which is a very cool place to be, and you're working in the city. Was your job in Brooklyn, or are you going into Manhattan for the job?
I was going to Manhattan.
Okay, so very good. And you've got a roommate, just one roommate, and you're this is an exciting time. I think a lot of people have that dream, especially creatives. New York is a very creative place. It's a hotbed for creativity. So yeah, so you've got a job. All right, so tell us about what life was like then. It starts out, was it exciting? Was it fun? Was it good? You're having a great time, everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah, it was exciting. I wanted to be around more music and art. Around that time, I was, into music. I was playing in bands. I wanted to, be around the action,
Be around the action.
be around the action. Yeah, I started freelancing at that time, which was wild because I really didn't have enough time to do that.
Okay.
I think I was just kind of saying yes to things. Like looking back, I think there was definitely some, like, I have ADHD, so I think there was some like ADHD like impulsivity, do all the things, positive momentum, that means you're successful. Sorry, not to get like too ahead, but
No, that's okay. But it's a shift in it's the definitely the time we're living. Like even if you have a job, you also have the side gigs. Like everybody's got like multiple things happening all the time. That's the way we build things these days. And so you're there, you've got the roommate. Okay, so now let's fast forward to the main event of the story. What is the near-death experience? What happens?
There was one morning where I was getting ready for work. I, got in the shower. I came out of the shower, and I felt very odd.
Okay.
I ended up finding out later, after I woke up on the floor, that I passed out from carbon monoxide poisoning. I was unconscious for about a half an hour. Luckily, there was a window that was open. After I woke up, I was very confused. I didn't know what happened. I ended up, calling my mom and then my boyfriend. I had no idea, and I was like, something just happened. I was in the shower, and now I'm on the floor. And she's like, "Do you smell anything? Like, what's going on?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I feel like I was describing." And she's like, "Get out." So I ran out, went in the hallway, put some clothes on, and then the pieces started coming together of what happened. What happened? There was some kind of gas leak. I found out later from the landlord. I took myself to the hospital, and the doctor, I was like describing to him, and he's like, "You're lucky that you woke up,
Yeah,
if
no,
that
did they do?
window."
Yeah, did they take the blood test and tell you and confirm what had happened? Oh my gosh, that is so scary. Unconscious for a half hour. Anybody else in the building affected?
No, it was very, and my roommate wasn't there. She was out with her boyfriend, so it was kind of an
Just you. No pets in the
interesting
house at the
situation.
time?
My friend had a dog, but the dog was not there.
Oh, lucky. Okay.
Lucky.
Gas
No one
leak.
else. And it was very odd. I don't want to get too, I don't really believe in, woo-woo stuff and things like that, but there was weird things that were happening
Right.
in the apartment. So I don't know. It's just a weird
It is, well, gas leaks
situation.
happen in the city. Gas leaks do happen. My favorite city phenomenon is when you have like a steam explosion that blows the manhole cover up in the air, which is very exciting, which I've never seen anywhere else. But people do have gas, and it's not, so it does happen. It's scary stuff. That's why they do it. Now I live in Florida where we don't really have it's like it would be hard, like, because we don't have any gas lines in my house, we don't have a fireplace, we don't have any of those things. Several years ago when I moved in this house, it had built-in carbon monoxide detectors, several of them all over the place. There's like six of them, and all the batteries went dead on the same day, like 26 minutes apart. It was the most ridiculous overnight period of my life. So I would find one, take the batteries out in a very dramatic, climb the ladder, take them out, put it away, go back to bed, and then the next one would go off, and I was like, "What is happening? And why?" But anyway, turns out, if you put all the batteries in at the same time, they're all going to go dead roughly at the same time. And then with the person, I had my handyman over, and he was walking me through it, and I was like, "Do I really need all of these car? Where would carbon monoxide be coming from in my house? Like, do I really need this?" So you did not have any carbon monoxide sensors, obviously, in this apartment. You probably didn't even know what carbon monoxide was at this point in your life.
I don't think I did. Like, obviously now I'm very aware.
Yeah.
I had multiple ones. I had a plug-in carbon monoxide one. Now we have pretty good, but our smoke alarm was dead for a little bit here, and I was, I told my husband, I was like, "We have to get this fixed right away. This is not okay."
So you go to the hospital, the doctor, you're feeling weird, and then the doctor tells you, oh, so helpfully, hey, you could have died.
I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Right, like
He
walk me through that. Initially, how did that feel to have somebody tell you?
It kind of felt unreal. I never really thought about, I don't know, the possibility of dying like that,
Right.
or I don't know, had a situation. It was just everything just kind of slowed down at that moment. I was like, okay, what am I doing? Why am I here? What, I was asking myself a lot of questions.
Right. So did you stay in the apartment?
I didn't. I left. I was very spooked. My roommate ended up saying she luckily didn't have any problems.
Yeah.
But I also kind of like took it as a weird sign, like, like this wasn't right. Like, I'm not supposed to be here or
I'm
something like
clearly not supposed to be here. I
that,
live in a building full of people. Everybody else was gone. I'm the only person. This is a sign. I'm not ignoring it.
like I couldn't help but not take it as a sign.
Okay, that's it. So carbon monoxide is scary for a lot of reasons. It's invisible, you don't know that it's happening. You are young and didn't even know it existed. So that is scary. That is scary. How long did this feeling? So were you like, did you have anxiety and apprehension that something bad was going to happen after that? Like, did you have that sort of feeling of like, what's next?
I kind of did. I was like, okay, what's going on? But I ended up, moving back home with my parents, which was very embarrassing, like the last thing I wanted to do. I'd spent a lot of years trying to
Right.
go out on my own, but
You were
it's
chased back by an invisible gas. I'm teasing you. It makes perfect sense. But when you have something that hurts you that you cannot see, how do you watch out for that? That's the thing that makes carbon monoxide so sneaky, right? Is that you don't know that it's there. You're not gonna know. And so
It just made me more aware in general about, where you're living. Is it safe? Back to adulting, do
Back
you
to
have
adulting. Adulting and the reality that it's not a forever path. How old were you when this happened?
I was 25, I think.
That so at 25, right, you are definitely an adult, but you're like a newbie adult. And but you don't know that, right? I often say I'm like I will describe things I did in my life, and I'm like, I did this with the kind of confidence that you can only have as like a 24, 25-year-old. It's like, yes, I got this. Nothing can possibly go wrong because you don't know any of the things that
I did not feel like an adult either at
happen.
the
And so that is that. So you move home and you describe this as saying that this puts you in a position to rethink everything. So what does that mean? What were you rethinking?
time. So it felt like everything was moving very fast. Everything fell into place. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. It was happening too easily, and it made me think about, maybe when things are happening too easily, that's because we're moving too fast and we're not really thinking about it. So I was thinking really about like my priorities, why I was doing that. And I kind of realized that I was putting a lot of success on a physical location. And I thought that, kind of like what I was saying before, I thought that moving really fast was the measure of success.
And being in the city, having the job in the city.
And I was, I was doing, I was trying to do too many things. I was on a sports team. I'm still on a sports team. That took a lot of my time. I was playing shows. It was just, I wasn't doing anything with intention. I was just doing all the things. And then around that time too, I was working with a coach, and she had me do this exercise. I still have it somewhere because, yeah, it was just a really good moment. But she had me do this exercise that was like, write out your ideal life in detail. I don't know if you've heard of it. A lot of people have
I
done
am not good at
this.
this one. This is one of the most famous coaching exercises. And the same way you struggled with the question about, like, tell me a little bit about yourself, like, just riff about yourself. When people are like, tell me about your ideal morning, I'm like, And my mind just goes completely blank. I'm like, is there a morning? Is that a morning? It's like, I'm not, this is, but it's a really famous exercise. So she tells you, draw your idea, design your ideal day.
It was like your ideal life. So it was like, what are you doing? Where are you living? Blah, blah, blah. And I described, I don't know if it was before I moved that I did this or right after, but it was very much around that time. And I was like, oh, I want to live in a small city. I want to be involved in community. I want it to be walkable. I want to ride my bike to the coffee shop. I want high ceilings, big windows, da da da. And then I realized, like a few years later, when I ended up in another apartment, I was like, this is what I described, just not in the way that I thought it was. It was on a smaller scale, but it had everything that I wanted. So it was, I keep my eyes open for opportunities that I might not recognize right away, because I feel like I had blinders on, like, this is the only way to achieve what I want to do. I have to be in this specific place, and I have to be in the, that's what you do when you live here. You move to the city. So yeah.
So you were checking off the boxes, as we might say, right? You had a path that you thought you needed to follow, get the job, go to the city, live with the roommate. You have a near-death experience with carbon monoxide, you end up in the hospital. And you begin to rethink it, and you're rethinking it like, is this actually what I really want? So you move back to home, and what shifts? What begins to shift?
So then around that time, I ended up I didn't have that job anymore. I had another job. And kind of talking about what I just mentioned about, realizing my ideal life.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about, why I wanted to move to Brooklyn. And it was, I pulled out the values there. It was like, okay, walkability, accessibility, freedom. That was a big one that stuck out. I felt like I had to escape where I was. So then I was like, okay, what am I doing for to get those
Right.
values or to live more aligned with my values? So I think it was, I don't know, 2015, maybe around this time. So I had this job, I was working at an agency, and
Which is the opposite of freedom because you're totally tied to the client. Right. Client says jump, and you're like, I've already jumped. I'm jumping for you. 24 hours. Yes.
So I realized, okay, I needed to start getting some of these values into my life. So I found out that, there's this work remote from other locations thing. It was very on the rise at the time. So I ended up, like, I made this presentation about traveling for a year and working remotely. This is before COVID. It was a weird, nobody was really, people were doing it, but it wasn't obviously as popular. And I made this big presentation. I was really excited about it. I was like, I'm gonna go on this venture. And they said no.
So you put together like a PowerPoint presentation
I
that's like
did.
15 reasons that Amy should go travel a year and you should continue to pay me.
And why was a benefit to them? And it
And
was
why was
probably
it benefit to
cringe.
them? And they came back and they were like, you've done an excellent job. This is well thought out, really well done. And also, no.
No. Yep. So from that moment on, my goal was to really build the experience I needed to go out on my own because I wanted that flexibility.
Very, so that was one of the big rethinking moments, that if
Yeah.
freedom was a core value, figuring out how to way to build that into your life.
Right.
I think that's really nice. I think that's really nice. I love the vision of you pitching this to your boss and your boss being like, no.
Yeah. I can't even, like, I can't even blame them because it was probably like a bit cringe,
Oh,
honestly.
but you know. But
I,
kudos to you for asking, because at least you asked and it
I
gave you the
tried.
chance, and it gave you the chance to really think it out. Like, this is how I would do it. And I love that it was a presentation and not just a conversation. I think that's really good. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. This is
Yeah.
a little bit complicated, but it may not, truthfully, as I was writing it out, I was realizing, I was like, I'm not actually sure that this is a good question, but I'm going to try it anyway. Imagine you're like in a movie and there's two paths, right? You can see the path. Like, it's like, pretend it's like the imaginary world where we can see the path of the life, not in real life where we're in it and we can't see it. And so one is that we've talked about, the one where you move to Brooklyn, you have this event, you move back home, you make these changes. That's the one we know. But in the movie, and can you imagine the other one, if the near-death experience had not happened, if you had just gone through that day and it hadn't happened, what do you think your life might be different now? Like, if you'd not been pushed to go through that, do you think you'd still be living in Brooklyn and working for an agency? Or what do you think would be going on?
I think I would. I think that's a good question.
I'm not sure it is a good question, but
Yeah.
let's we'll go
No.
with it. We'll go with it. Like, it's like, if nothing had forced you to examine it,
Yeah.
is it possible you wouldn't have made the change?
I think that there was a part of me that would have kept, chasing those on paper successes,
Yeah.
like climbing the corporate ladder. I think I would have aligned myself because I was always kind of running away from that a little bit. I had a few corporate jobs. I'm like, not really for me. But I think I would have kind of leaned into that a little bit, maybe to support the lifestyle and, you're around the
Yes.
hustle. So it's easier to kind of fall into that.
Yeah, so they call that the lifestyle trap. Like, so you like step into a lifestyle that's supported by a job, and then you cannot leave the job because you have this lifestyle that you created because of the job. And
Yeah.
then, like you're saying, if you surround yourself with other people who are doing it, It does feel it just feels normal. It feels like it is the option. Like, oh, well, of course we all work 80 hours a week because we're all doing it, and that makes total sense. You know, of course we have a
Right.
business meeting at 11:30 at night. Who doesn't?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, of course. I talked to a guy early on in the podcast who lives in, I'm gonna get the country wrong. He lives in Thailand, right? He basically works like an upside down schedule because all his clients are in the United States, and this is completely normal and his choice for him. And meanwhile, he's telling me the story, and I'm like, that is not something I want to do with my schedule. Like, but he does it and he's happy. It's normal for him. Normal is a moving target. So yeah, so you can imagine that this, you could have had a di completely different life if this hadn't happened. It was a scary and very unpleasant experience. You were lucky. Are you in a twisted way? The words for this don't actually make sense, but are you grateful for the scare?
I am because I think I very could have, kept but fell into the hustle trap. And I kept thinking about that throughout, the next still, I think about every time I'm more resistant to burnout now. I can recognize it when, okay, you're doing too much, like slow down. Not like, oh, you're gonna die or anything, but like
Right.
just remembering that time and how I was just on the verge of burnout and escaping it. Like even, I wish it was okay. I never hustled again after that, but that's not the reality of life. Even 2013, I ended up, taking on too much work. I was wedding planning at the time, and just you don't realize until you're kind of in the thick of it that
Yeah.
you're running on nothing.
Well, the
But I had
beginning of the
more.
hustle feels good.
Yes.
The beginning of the hustle feels good. It's exciting. It's enthralling. It's something you like to do. It's when, this is my opinion, not like an absolute statement, but it's like when we choose to do something, it's enjoyable. That feels good. But when it takes on a life of its own and it feels like it's driving you, that doesn't always feel good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been my experience. It's like, oh, I did make this choice. And also, I'd like to stop now.
Yeah.
that is really good. So, and you're probably more cautious even today about invisible gases in your home.
Yes.
Yeah, I would
Yeah.
be. I would be. That's like, it's like, I would be. I mean, I can be very glib about it because I've never been through it, but I'm also very sensitive to the fact that, to go through it, to know somebody goes through it, it's smart to be safe about it.
Yeah, it's also just make sure that those things you need to do as an adult don't fall through the cracks,
Yes, changing. I mean, I
you're
told the joke about the fire alarm, the carbon dioxide sensors all going dead at the same time, but changing the batteries in your smoke detectors. If yours have, my actual fire alarms don't have batteries. They have backup batteries and they're connected to what the magic electrical system. But these did have batteries, and changing them is an important thing. But also, I do not understand how we can land a thing on a foreign planet. We can get messages from beyond Pluto, and we can't. I have an app for my dryer, washer dryer, and I don't have an app for how my batteries are doing, and something that's going to wake me up in the middle of the night. Like, this is a gap in technology. This is a gap in.
True.
I don't want to communicate with my washer and dryer via an app. I do want to know before the batteries go dead in these smoke detectors. It should not be so manual. Like, this should be
That's
like,
true.
right? It's like it should be able to speak to me, dear Amy. We need new batteries. Like, that would be really helpful. That would be really helpful because they only go dead in the middle of the night. And we also really just want them to work.
Yes, yes.
Also, what would be great is if somebody could teach them the difference between burning pizza and an actual fire.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So you don't have
Yes.
to stand on something and,
Yes.
wring a towel on it to
That would
get
be
it to
like the
stop.
greatest thing. That would be the greatest thing. You've never seen my family move so fast as when we're about to set off the smoke alarm, and we're like flinging open the doors, and everybody's in high alert. Which is, I mean, that we're aware of. That's not what you went through. You were in the shower and you passed out. I'm very thankful that the window was open and that you made it out because it doesn't always go that way.
Yeah, I remember opening the window. I don't know why. I think it was just stuffy in there. I think it was September, if I remember
Yeah.
properly. So very, very glad. Yeah.
Very, very glad. Was your skin all pink? Do you remember? That's what I've
Yeah.
seen. That's what I've been told is like the skin gets really pink from people who are in carbon monoxide. But yeah, no, that is okay. So, all right, we're in a minute. We're going to do the final fun questions, but I want to give you a chance to tell people. I know you're a web designer. Tell people more about what you do and how they can connect with you online.
Yeah, I do custom web design and development. I partner with agencies and I also work directly with small businesses. I have a few different offerings. I can do like a full redesign. I also like to meet people where they're at and do things on a smaller scale as well.
Very nice. And you have a special offer for the audience, which is a website audit. So, a website audit, tell us what that means.
Yeah, so if you have been working on your website yourself, you're just getting started, I'll give you some quick takeaways on how to improve it and action items.
Very nice. And so we have a form. There's a link to a form in the show notes. And also, the best way to get these links is to be a subscriber to imperfectadulting.com. And then I send you information about new episodes, special offers from the guests direct to your inbox. You just click on them like magic. And that's how that works. It's perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right. Thank you for that very generous offer, Amy. It's really, really nice of you. I appreciate it. I'm gonna ask you three questions. These are rapid fire. Unlike the first question, which is loosey goosey, this is just, say whatever comes to your mind and answer with however, whatever you think of. Okay, so do you like art museums? And if so, what is the famous your favorite museum that you have ever visited?
Oh, I've been to quite a few. I'm always a fan of the MoMA. I tend to
MoMA's
go there
great.
often. Yeah.
MoMA's great. Yeah, MoMA is great. There was so when did you live in Brooklyn? What years was that? Because there was a period where like MoMA in Manhattan was closed, and so it was like actually like MoMA was in Brooklyn. I don't know if you were there
It was
then.
like 2014,
I
I
think that
want to
was
say.
after that. I think they were back. There was a period of like 5 years where like MoMA in Midtown was under renovation, like it was a building, it needed repair, and so they like closed it,
Yeah.
and they had MoMA Brooklyn, and then they went back to that. But MoMA is the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Sorry, that was that we were having a conversation without explaining what
We
you
were
were
having a
talking.
moment.
We were having a conversation without explaining it, but that's the Museum of Modern Art in New York. It's a great place. On your birthday, do you like cake? And if so, what is your favorite kind of cake for your birthday?
Ooh, I do like cake. I'm a big fan of ice cream cake, which is ironic because it's very hard to find vegan ice cream cake.
Oh.
So when I can find it, it's delicious and great.
So when they make vegan, that's true. There would be that because vegan ice cream is a specialty item. What's your favorite base for vegan ice cream? What's the type you like coconut or?
Yeah, I do like the coconut one. You wouldn't think it tastes like coconut, but it doesn't. And Ben and Jerry's is It's really good. They're vegan
Ben
ice
and
cream.
Jerry's has a
Yeah.
vegan ice cream.
They have a
This is not
few.
surprising, but when I think of Ben and Jerry's, I think of decadence. And when I think of vegan, I think of healthy. And so it's like it took me my brain a second to catch up. But of course they would have a vegan option so that vegans can have delicious ice cream too. So that makes sense. All right. So if and when you fly on an airplane, what part of the plane do you prefer? Like middle, back, that kind of thing. And do you have a favorite seat preference, like exit row, window, aisle seat?
100% the back. It might be an unpopular
I am
opinion.
very surprised by that. Yes, go on.
And aisle seat. I need to feel, like I can move around. As nice as it is to look out the window, I'd rather be able to get up and not be stuck. And the back
Very
just
good.
feels more chill.
The back is more chill for you and an aisle seat. I love it. All right, that's it, Amy Colosa. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on the show today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.